8, the Bible says, "And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah." Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And he set the one in Bethel and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. Amen. I want to preach a while tonight from verse 28. If you'll notice, amen, the king said, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem." The modern church theme today is, "It's too much." Come on now. They want to tell you tonight that God is too hard to live for. That you can't give up all this world that's in it. That you can't live separated. Come on, children, amen. God help us, amen. They want us to believe, and they're telling us, amen, that you're asking too much. Too hard. And then, hey man, then they say to us, the holiness man, amen, they say, "Thy fathers made our yoke grievous. Woo! Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee." I hope you get what I'm telling you tonight. Amen. This, what they call them, charismatic, charismatic, whatever it is, amen. This much is saying it's too much, amen, to live for God like your fathers. Lay it on us. Make it a little lighter, and we're dying up with you. Huh? We'll go along with you if you just come off that holiness business. Suggestive books. If you let us have our television. If you let us cut our bangs. If you let us feather it out and fix it up and, well, they poof it. If you let us wear our split skirts. If you let us wear them pull sleeves, amen. And we'll come and go with you. We'll make your church a large one. Amen. We'll pay our money to you if you'll just let up a little bit. Woo! Hallelujah. Yeah, you're asking too much. Huh? You're preaching too hard. Make it a little easier so we can go along with you. You know something? That almost sounds reasonable, don't it? That's the way you do things in this world, a little give and a little take. You give up a little bit, and I'll give up a little bit, and we'll get together. Hello? Are you still out there? Yeah! You give a little and I'll give a little and we'll get together. And we ought to have a pretty good church. You know what Paul said? Paul said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ." I'm real careful with people that say to me now, "Brother Buzzard, let's be reasonable about this."
Come on.
I said, "Hey, wait a minute. I got news for you. I'm not the negotiator. I'm just the announcer. Amen. Sweet Lamb of God. I didn't write the Bible. I didn't set the standards of holiness. Amen. I didn't put it down in the book. God put it down in the book. Now I got the foundation laid, let's get down to my message. I want to preach tonight on why we must hold the line. I know I'm not the greatest preacher in the world, I know that. Even if the wife says so, I know I'm not. And even though my children think so, I still don't. I know not. But along this journey, Brother Bill, I've had them tell me. Now, Brother Buzzard, I had them tell me, if you come to a certain state, we'll buy you a home and make you the state evangelist. But, but, we want you to put on a suit. Necktie. I said, I'm out. But mostly what they want is me to let up a little bit on the standard that I preach and hold. And they said, now, Brother Buzzard, we'll fix it where you don't never have to worry about your income. I mean, we'll fix it. And we'll buy you a new vehicle ever so often, just however often you need it. We'll fix that up.
Come on now.
To you younger preachers, think about this now. When I went down fill out my income tax several years ago, we went to Block, H&R Block, and he said, are you self-employed? And I said, no. He said, just what are you? I said, I'm a preacher. And we went around and around. He finally called the IRS up. And so down home they call it the Infernal Revenue Service.
Come on.
And the Eternal Revenue Service. And Brother Billy called him up and they said, he's a minister, he's a pastor. And he said, well, the government says that he is self-employed. And I said, what is your definition of a self-employed man? He said, well, he's one that sets his own wages. I said, that ain't me. He said, he sets his own hours. I said, that ain't me either. And we talked and he said, I don't care what you say, the government said you're self-employed, so that's what I am. But I said this to say this. Hey, man, sometimes the devil can really tempt you.
Come
on now. If it snows at home and we don't have church for 3 weeks, I don't get paid for 3 weeks. Hello? Come on now, you're looking at me funny. I'm just telling you how it is. So when somebody comes and says, we'll fix it for you.
Yeah.
You won't never have to worry again. It'll be in the mail every week. I ain't interested. Huh? I said, if you let me preach wholeness like I always have. Come on, saints. I said, if you let me hold the line like where I've always held it. I might talk to you. We can't have that in the church. We're afraid it'll ruin the church. No, I said, the reason the church is ruined, the reason that you're wanting me, is because the church is already ruined. And I've had them ask me, why? Why? Why do you just insist on preaching like you do? Why do you just insist? There's a reason.
Right.
There's a reason. The Bible said, Paul speaking in the book of Galatians said, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Brother Joe Bill, I am looking for a reaping day.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Come on, saints.
Yes.
Come on, saints. I'm looking for a better day than what I'm living in. I got my eyes set on the goal out yonder. Brother Mitch, thank God one of these days. Hallelujah. I'm going to move to a better land than what I'm living in. Hallelujah. I'm looking for a time of reward and joy and peace. Amen. And happiness. I'm looking for reaping day. But it all contingent on one fact, that I faint not. That I faint not. Well, I look this word, faint. You know, we always think that means to lose consciousness, to pass out. And Brother Bill, I got that old Strong's out. And I looked that Greek word up because God kept dealing with me about it. I can't say the Greek word, don't even remember it, didn't even bring my Strong with me. Amen. But I did remember what it said, and it had one meaning. It meant relax. Huh? Come on, saints. Woo! Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't relax.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
Huh? Now then, you white folk, tell me, what does the word relax mean? Are you like me? You got to look it up first. It had several meanings. The first of them was, in my dictionary, said, to make things less strict.
Come on.
You mean that my reaping day depends on whether I don't let up being strict?
Come on.
Some of y'all ain't going to have a reaping day, are you?
Come on, come on.
No, you ain't living what you used to live. You don't believe what you used to believe.
Come on.
Somewhere back down the road, you're relaxed.
Come on.
Sweet Lamb of God, hallelujah. I won't believe you shouting, but I don't think I am. Maybe I will. Amen. You only got in a while ago, shouldn't you now? Wish you had it, then. Come on here. Come on here. You mean to tell me, amen, if I let up what I once believed, amen, that I'm fainting? Yeah, you fainted. Somewhere back down the road, you lost out. You better get back to what you once believed, what you once held. Amen. Oh, God help us. God help these sin-sick, sin-loving, bunch of hypocritical preachers without backbone enough, amen, to hold the standards of holiness. I had one tell me, now, Brother Leon, it's different than it was. I said, no, you're different, but it's not different. Sister Lori, I don't dare let up. Because you see, if I let up, my reaping day is gone. Huh? I said, if I let up, Brother Daddy, my reaping day is gone. Huh? Come on, children. I said, if I let up, my reaping day is gone. If you don't mind, let this old buzzard work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. Let me hold the line where it's always been. I'm not trying to build a new line. I'm just preaching the gospel that I heard my fathers preach before me. Brother Joe Bill, I'm not trying anything new. Amen. My grandfather preached the way that I'm preaching to you. Come on here. Amen. These old gray-headed preachers that's still holding the line. We ain't preaching nothing new than what they preach. Amen. Just the same thing. If I let that up, my reaping day is gone. Huh? The Bible said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Brother Frank, they preached to me. Now, son, when you get married, you be sure you got a good one before you get married. Come on now. Come on now.
Come on.
When I met that little blonde, with her hair ain't blonde, she said, quit telling people my hair's blonde, they think you got somebody else. Well, I ain't, but she was blonde. No, it ain't dyed. It's kind of turning gray. And them blue eyes. Met her in the house of God in a revival. Oh, God help. Woo! Something hit me just like a 2x4. I know before I left Oklahoma, I was in the service. I know that's the one I wanted. I said, I know that was the one I wanted. But before I went back, got to writing to her, man, it got serious on my side of the fence. And I said, all right. But then I fasted 3 weeks, 21 days, of begging God. I said, God, if this is the right one, if this is the one you want me to have, I said, if it ain't, let me know. Don't let me get into something I can't get out of. Don't let me get into something. Amen. As a young man, that life will be bare and terrible. Come on. You'd have been a lot better off if you'd have prayed 3 weeks too. Amen. Come on, saints. One of my daughters, when she's 13 years old, thought she fell in love with a 21-year-old man. I told him, I said, you leave my daughter alone. She said, I said, you leave her alone. She's just 13 years old. She ain't got... Well, I forgot you just... It's still the truth, amen. He said, I can't sit by. I said, no. Can't talk to her at church. I said, no. He said, well, what if I come over to your house to talk to you? I said, we'll go over to church and talk.
Come on.
My daughter cried. Told Mama. Said, Mama, I think I'm in love with him. And now, Daddy. Well, in a year or so, he married a little 14-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Got one of age, you know.
Yeah. Come on.
Three or four kids before she's 20 years old. Man too lazy to make a living, par. My daughter hugged my neck and wept. Said, thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. I dare not relax in this hour of darkness that grows. Huh? We've got a generation of men and women and said, bless God, I had it rough when I was little. I ain't going to make my kids have to go through what I went through. Well, did you turn out so bad? Is that the reason that you're doing that? Or just, is this a confession? Woo! Oh, let me go on. Let me go on. But it'll still be the same. The Bible still reads, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. I cannot and will not back down on holiness. Relax. The next thing it said, amen, is to make less severe. When you relax, you make things less severe. Oh, God help us. Ever since the devil told Eve, when Eve said, if we eat of that thing, we'll die. Why, he said, you won't die. You won't die.
No. You'll be all right. Come on.
That ain't going to hurt nothing.
Come on. Help me go home.
It'll make it grow if you'll trim them dead ends off.
That's what you say.
Ooh. It won't hurt nothing, Daddy, if I just take the car and drive with them around, you know.
Come on.
I remember when I asked Daddy for the car when I was 16. He said, son, you'll soon be 21, you can buy your own. Come on now. Come on now. When I turned 21, I said, I'm 21, Daddy. He said, go ahead and buy one. Just go right ahead. Go right ahead. Help yourself, amen. There's the used car lot. Have at it. Come on, saints.
Come on. That's the truth.
We've made sin become palatable in this day and time. Fixed it where it don't have the stigma that it one time had. Come on here. Men and women in the house of God married 3 and 4 times. Put them up, amen, making the Sunday school superintendent. It's worse than that now, amen. In Arkansas, they started ordaining lesbians and homosexuals. Huh? Huh? Are you hearing me tonight? When Billy Graham, and if he's your hero, you need to change heroes. I'll tell you that right now. When Billy Graham came to Arkansas, the Baptist Association was bringing him in. Hey, man, and that bunch of queers. That's what they are. Went to him and said, can homosexuals be Christians? He said, oh, yes, homosexuals can be Christians. He said, practicing homosexuality. He said, oh, yes, some choose to quit and some choose to go on. This doesn't make any difference. President of the Baptist Association in Arkansas backed down. He said, I'm not getting in no fight in the newspaper with Dr. Graham. Bless your heart. There's one Baptist that had some backbone. Amen. His assistant from out of the middle of nowhere stood up and said, I don't care who he is. I don't care if he's a president. I don't care who he is. He said, bless God, me and my church are not backing no homosexual loving preacher. Come on here, where did we relax then? Amen, and let the bar down and let the goats in. My God in heaven. Hallelujah, saints. Amen, reaping days are coming and you ain't going to get a thing. Don't you wish you'd shouted? Come on, children. I'm telling you what's the truth, amen. God told me. I had a message all lined out. I thought they'd probably shout this last night. I may not even have to preach. And this afternoon when I got back, I said, I'll lay down and sleep 3 or 4 hours and be able to drive all night with that. And God said, I want you to preach something else besides what you thought you wanted to preach. I'm preaching it to you too. Amen. Huh? We've relaxed and let it be less severe. I want to tell you something. The penalty of sin is the same as it always has been. Sin has already been judged. Amen. I didn't pass judgment on it. I didn't write it down. But God said the wages of sin is death. God said the wages of sin is death. I don't care who he is, how many DDs he's got, or anything else. It's still that. We sang that old song about sin. We'll stop you at the door, bar you out forevermore. Sin can never enter there. Amen. Let's go on. Relax means to reduce the application of. You know, it's amazing to me how some folks seem to feel that the word doesn't apply to them in their little bunch. Woo. I know a preacher, amen, that, well, it's my daughter. I guess I can talk about it if I want to. She called me up, or rather her husband called me up. And he was incensed. He said, Brother Buzzard. I said, yeah. He said, they won't let her play the piano now. I said, why? He said, well, she trimmed her bangs. I said, well, it's a good thing she ain't home because I wouldn't let her play it either.
Come on.
He said, yeah, but you don't understand. His daughter's playing the piano and she's living in with her second husband. Man, I wish we'd just hold the line for everybody, don't you? It'd be so much easier if little Susie and Johnny had to line up with the preacher's kids. Oh, God, help us. The Bible said at the times of this ignorance, before Jesus came, God winked at that ignorance. But now, commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You, me, my children, and yours too. Sometimes you got to be careful being a pastor, you know, because your kids are supposed to be angels. Come on, and if they do anything, then they're devils. It's always easy to see where somebody else needs to line up, but what about us? Huh? The application of the truth must be to every soul. Come on now. Amen. The Bible says of a truth, Peter said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of person. He ain't, and you better not be either. But somewhere we relax that. Woo! My brethren, the Bible says in the book of James, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say to him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? I didn't think he'd shout too high over that. I didn't think I ought to really get on that too much, but the Lord put it on me anyway. When you start this clicking business, my four no more. You're jeopardizing your reaping day. Bless your heart, if you're a Christian and I'm a Christian, amen, we ought to be able to shake hands and hug one another's neck and mean it. I thought about a controversy come up in holiness several years ago in Oklahoma. Well, they're still going on. Huh? And they came to me and said, "Whose side are you on? Are you on Brother So-and-so's side or you on his side?" I looked at him and I said, "Last time I checked, I was still on the Lord's side."
Come on, Brother Leon.
He said, "Now this is something you ain't going to be able to be neutral over." I said, "I got news for you. That man's my friend, been my friend for years. That has been my friend, been friends for years." I said, "If either one of them quit me, I can't help it. But I'm going to treat them just like I always have."
Come on,
but we relax that nowadays. Who's preaching your camp meeting? So I probably won't come.
Come on.
I'll be glad when he gets done and put mine up.
Yes, sir.
Come reaping day, where are you going to be at? Come reaping day. You know you reap what you sow. Huh? What to say about them that sow discord among the brethren? Huh? Come on here now. Heck, one of them come and tell me, said, "Well, we're going to have disfellowship. Brother, almost said his name. We're going to disfellowship him." I said, "Is that right?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "What'd he do?" He said he stole some lumber off that old widow woman up there where he's pastoring at. I said, "Do you know that to be a fact?" Why, he said, "I was told by good source."
Come on.
I said, have you talked to him?" "Oh, no, I haven't talked to him." I said, "Let's go see him." He said, "No, I ain't going to." I said, "Why not?" He said, "I don't want to get involved." I said, "Then what the world you come and tell me that for?"
Come on
here, saints. I'm talking about a reaping day. I'm talking about a time that people are walking out canceled on.
Come on.
You don't want to get involved, keep your mouth shut.
Come on.
In Oklahoma we say, "Shut up or put up." That means prove it. Come on now. Brother Bill, I told him, I said, "Where you got his name?" He said, "I got it right at the top." I said, "You got a place there, second spot." He said, "Why?" I said, "Put Leon Buzzard right there." He said, "I don't want to do that." Well, I said, "Put it there. Put it there. Mark me off too. Come on, saints. Come on, saints.
Come on."
You know something? It ought to take more than a rumor to make you believe something about a brother.
Come on.
Brother Bill, what did that brother tell me? I said, "Do you?" And he said, "I know." He said, "I don't know how in the world it got started." He said, "I just don't." Said, "I did get some lumber off her land." Said, "I paid it for her." Come on, saints. He had the receipt. He had her. He lost his church over that rumor. There wasn't a thing to it.
Come on.
With the widow standing up in church and saying, "There ain't a thing to it." They said, "Oh, she just trying to let him off." Well, if she chose to let him off, what business is that of yours? Oh, God, woo! Tearing it up last night. Good meeting, tore it up. That's all right. Sweet Lamb of God. Hey, man, I didn't pack my tomahawk in my suitcase. I think I still got it.
Lord, bless him.
My friend, when you stand before God, amen, and it's reaping day, and he asks you why you told these things on these and didn't know what he's talking about, amen, what do you think you're going to reap?
Come on.
It won't be wheat, it'll be tares every time.
Come on.
And even if it is the truth, what are you perpetuating it for?
Come on.
Oh, Lord, let me get off that. Oh, God, I feel that burning in my soul, Brother Bill. We've relaxed.
Come on.
Years ago, they wouldn't put up with that. They'd have made you prove it. When I belonged to that little organization for several years, got to be the vice president, it was for a while. Hey man, all a man had to do was just kind of mention something, and they'd have a trial. They wanted to haul. Well, Brother Bill, I got it passed, and in my efforts, and I said, from now on, in this little bill that I wrote, Brother Joe Bill, I said, from now on, any accusation against the brethren will not be received unless it is typed out and signed by the accuser. That stopped all that. That stopped every bit of it. Amen. That's the end of all that bickering and carrying on, because, amen. Someday you're going to have to back up what you've been telling. Amen. Someday you're going to stand in front of the judge of all this hurt, and he's going to say, prove what you said. Woo! Sweet Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us. And then the word relax means to rest from efforts. To rest from trying. Relax. You'll never reap if you quit without firing a shot. Come on, saints. Just went and hid that talent in the earth. Buried it. And then went to the master's house and just sat there till he come back. You know he was lost. He was lost, amen, because he didn't do nothing. I told Brother Joe Bill, I said, "Poor church, I hope they have you sing again tonight." Well, they did. I hope if the Lord lets me live that long, and Joe Bill won't take offense, I don't think. If he does, he'll pray through before he leaves. And I hope if I live to be that age, I can put as much into my preaching and singing as that man does. Huh? Even his hair gets up there and gets with it. I want to live today. Ain't going to be no lazy Christians in heaven. Come on here. I said, there ain't going to be no lazy Christians in heaven. If you go, it'll be because you put your best into it. You say, but Brother Buzzard, my best is not very good. What difference does that make? Huh? Paul said, if there be first a willing mind, then is it accepted according to what a man hath, and not what he hath not. That may not be an exact quotation, but that's what he said. What he's saying is, you may not be able to sing in tune, but if you're singing with the will and heart, God will accept it. I'm glad he's that away, ain't you? I'm glad he's that away. Amen. The Bible said in the book of Peter, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. You know, you might get sick and tired, and you may even say so, but you may get sick and tired of hearing holiness. Come on now, and it may seem like that God's men are unreasonable. At times, amen, or seemingly to you, small things. I thought about what Brother Johnny, I don't remember he said it during his preaching, but he told me the first time Brother Benny come down in his country and lowered the boom on their wedding rings down there. He told his wife, said, that's a mighty big gun to be shooting at a ring. And you might feel like sometimes that way about your little Benjamin. Hello? But if you'll notice what the Bible said in Peter, what I just read to you, wherefore the brethren give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. Do you know what the word diligence means? I'm glad Ralph introduced me to the dictionary. I'm great on word meaning anymore. I found out, Brother Don, there several times when I was preaching on something I didn't know what I was even talking about. Come on now. I was kind of like Brother Lester Moore. He told me he went to California when he first called to preach and got out there and got to preaching where that dud was turned out, you know. What's that word they use? Importunity. He read that and he got to preaching on being important. Important with the Lord. Oh, God, help us. This word diligent means a careful and a constant effort with much and great attention to the small details. Huh? Yeah. You know, length the skirt. Hello? Length the hair. Come on. Woo! What's in your heart? Come on. Oh, God help us. Amen. If you want your money back, I'll give it to you. I didn't come here broke, and I won't leave broke. And I don't mean to be smart aleck about it either. I'm not trying to be. But I'm trying to tell you tonight, amen, that we've lost the power of God out of our lives because we have relaxed. We have relaxed. Paul said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. Paul is saying, I refuse to relax. Several years ago, I heard a song about One Drop. And I've heard Joey sing it, One Drop. Have you heard that song, One Drop? You ain't heard it. Well, Joey sings it. He ever up here, have him sing it. It was One Drop shed for me, One Drop. And Brother John, I thought, man, that sounds like a good message. I want to preach on that. Just like when I heard Brother Troy this morning, was it this morning? He said, they got the gripes instead of the grapes. Man, I'm going home preaching on, have you got the gripes or the grapes?
Yes.
Woo, I like that. I like that. Man, I like that. Whew, almost preached it tonight. But I got to want to preach about my drop. Huh? I wanted to go to Calvary and find my drop and preach to him, Brother Bill. And sometime maybe the Lord let me do that. But when I got to looking in the Word and got to studying the Word, I found that He didn't come for no Cherokee Indians. Huh? I couldn't find a drop for the Cherokee Indians. Now you're looking at me funny. Huh? And I read where He sent them out, Brother Don. He said, I don't want you going to the Cherokees.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, he didn't say Cherokees, but he said, don't go to nobody but the Israelites. That's what he said. Huh? And he said, I didn't come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I thought, oh God, how close I come if they'd have accepted Him. Where would we be tonight? But the Bible said they didn't accept Him. Come on now. How does that read in the first of John? He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But to as many, to as many as what? Received Him, gave He them the power to become the sons of God. They didn't want Him, and they let me in, and I got in. You think I'm going to let up on holiness? You think I'm going to betray the Son of God and the Word of God and relax?
Come on.
When He brought me out of the people, amen, they used to worship the sun and the moon and the wind and the bear and the lion and the bison, amen, and knew no God, amen, but amen, amen, a great light rose up to those that sat in darkness and in the region of the shadow of death rose a great light. No, not me. I'm going to hold the light. It ain't that far back for me to barbarism. My grandfather's daddy was killed in a gun battle at Acton, Oklahoma, when Grandpa was just a small boy. Grandpa was raised wild. My grandfather. Brother John, when holiness came to our country, Grandpa was nothing. He owned a little store, country store. Grandma went to the Baptist church. They started meeting at the old gray schoolhouse, Brother Danny. Them holiness people. Woo!
Praise the Lord.
Nothing but a bunch of Indians. Amen. Grandma come home and told Papa, said, "Damn the holiness people are starting a meeting at the gray schoolhouse." Grandpa said, "I ain't going." He wouldn't even go to the Baptist church or the Methodist. Brother Frank, Grandpa said, "Well, it's a good thing, because the preacher said it wasn't a God, it was the devil down there." Grandpa said, "I'm going. I've always wanted to see him. I'm going to go see that devil." Long before the meeting got started, the word was all over the country. The devil was coming to hold a revival at the Gray Schoolhouse. Man, all the Indians turned out. Now you have to understand this about full-blood Cherokee Indians, or at least Cherokee Indians. Hey man, when the meeting starts, all the Cherokee bucks sit in the back. They all sit in the back, and the women and the children sit in front. But Frank, that old preacher, get to preaching against chewing tobacco, and every one of them bucks would reach back.
Oh yeah.
Woo! Huh? I'm just telling you like it was. Brother Bill, Grandma and them, I mean, the gospel got a hold of them. They got saved. Woo! I mean, the women got to getting saved and the children got to getting saved. Pretty soon they got to preaching the Holy Ghost to them. I don't get mad at me. They didn't even know what sanctification meant. But they couldn't even say it when they seen anybody. And the Baptists left that out of the Indians' Bible. They wrote them a Bible and left out the words they didn't understand. Come on now. And they got to being saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And them Indians would sit back there, and them full-blood Cherokee Indian boys would sit back there and argue. Is that a God or is that of the devil? I think it's of God. I think it's of the devil. Well, I told you Grandpa owned that store, so he's kind of community leader, and is waiting for Dan to make up his mind. Dan said, "I just don't know." And it went on for 2 or 3 weeks, and they sat back there and argued. I mean, he'd be up there preaching. They'd be sitting back there talking to each other out loud. I think that's... No, thank you. One night, Uncle John said to Dan, "Dan, I made up my mind. It's of the devil. I'm sure, I'm positive that it is of the devil." And Grandpa sat there a while. He said, if that's true, how come you and me ain't got it? He knew he didn't have God.
Come on.
And up from there he came, and down to the altar he went. And a few nights he prayed through to that old time salvation. Amen. Got the fill with the Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, God help us. Brother Bill, the cow came down sick. Just they hadn't been saved very many days, and the cow came down sick. He came in the house. Said, Clary, the cow's sick. It's down. It looks like it's dying. He said, what are we going to do? Well, Dan said, we're going out there, you and me, and lay hands on that cow and pray for it.
Come on.
Huh? Them white people told us that if any two agreed on any one thing, it'd be done. Yeah. We got to have a cow. Don't you agree with me? She said, yeah. She said, but Dan, you ain't got none of that anointing oil. Grandpa reached over in that old hog lard that he'd rendered out. Said, this'll do. And out to the barn they went and anointed that cow. I said, Grandpa, what happened when you... He said, I smeared that lard down that cow's head. Hey, man, and Mama got a hold of one horn and I got a hold of the other. And we got to praying, that cow said, moo, and come up off the ground. You know how cow usually gets up, rear end first, and then up like that? He said she come up all poor. Woo! Huh? Come on, I'm not going back down with this. I'm going to hold the line. I said I'm going to hold the line. Woo! Hallelujah! Praise the name of our God. I said praise the name of our God. Bless your heart one day. Grandpa's out in the field of plowing. Amen. And Grandma reaches and runs outside and grabs the hammer and hits that old plow. Oh, whang! Grandpa unhitches a mule. Here he comes. What's the matter, Clary? Said Burley was riding the horse. That's my youngest uncle. He's about 7 years old. And said he cut too close to the corner of the house and hit the rafter and knocked him off, and said he fell down and hit a rock, and said his bone is sticking out the side of his leg, out his pant leg, and he's bleeding bad. Grandpa went in, and there he was, laying on the bed. There's his bone sticking out the side, right above the knee here, bleeding. Grandma said, Dan, what are we going to do? It's over 160 miles. To Fort Smith, to the nearest doctor. Come on, I mean, we're living in the Indian territory. Come on here. Ain't no phone to pick up the phone. Yeah, send the ambulance out here to Route 1. Uchi, yes, yes, you'll be all right, thank you. Huh? He said, we're going to pray. And we're going to grieve. And God's going to touch this boy.
Praise the Lord.
You think I'm going to back down on holiness with this?
Come on, tell
them. Brother John, Grandma said we got to praying. Grandpa got to speaking in tongues. Woo! She said, I heard something hit the floor. And she said, I thought Burley had been, he's in such pain and crying that he rolled off the bed. Said, I rose up and just in time to see Burley running out the door. To back down. Back down if you want to. Quit God if you will. Relax if you want to. I breathe my whole life. Just pray. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah. here to sing that song again. I'll let you know when.
Glory to God. Let you know
when. Glory to God.
My grandfather then was called to preach the gospel. This old Cherokee that couldn't hardly speak English and couldn't read. God taught him how to read. The Cherokee language he knew, but I mean English. The Baptist had wrote a Bible for the Cherokees. And in this Bible that they wrote for the Cherokees, they left a lot about holiness and a lot about the Holy Ghost and sanctification. Just what they wanted them Indians to know. God taught my grandfather to read the English Bible. Brethren, Grandpa went to church with two Bibles. A Cherokee Bible and an English Bible. And Grandpa would open the Cherokee Bible and read it. Then he would open the English Bible and read to them the difference. And he warned them people to the truth. You think I'd let down a God that moved in my family like He's moved and let you relax today on holiness just because some pale face doesn't like the way that I preach? God help you. You don't got backbone enough. You need to pray through till you get backbone enough. I first took my first church. I had to work for a living. Bless your heart. Church paid us $2.50 a week. And I was working for 80 cents an hour. I went home. Brother Bill and Papa asked me, said, "Preacher boy, how's it going?" I said, "Oh, it's kind of rough, Grandpa." And I told him, "They just giving us $2.50 a week." He said, "Man, that's good wages, ain't it?" I looked at him. I thought he was kidding me. He said, "I remember the first revival that the Lord sent me to preach at Muskogee, Oklahoma." He said, "I was coming home in the old car that they'd bought and set up on, I run out of gas right up on the top of the holler." Amen. He said, "I pushed it off the holler and coasted in, went in the barn and went to praying. And the Lord said, 'I want you to go to Muskogee and hold a revival.'" And it's in the afternoon then. And he said, "All right, Lord, tomorrow morning early, I'll head out. I'll have to leave the mules and the horses here for the boys to plow while I'm gone. And I'll walk because I run out of gas." He's explaining to the Lord why. He said, "I want you to start tonight." He said, "Lord," he said, "even if I took one of the horses, I couldn't ride that far, for it's too late to start meeting." And the Lord said, "You got a car sitting out there." He said, "Yeah, but Lord, you see me run out of gas upon." He said, "Take the car." He said, "All right, Lord." He said, "Wait till I get my Bible and my change of clothes." He went in there and changed his clothes and got his Bible. Grandma said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to Muskogee to start a revival." She said, "I thought you ran out of gas." He said, "I thought I did too." He went out. He said, "That thing was a cantankerous old thing." Said, "Sometimes you could start it with the cranking front after lots of..." He said, "Sometime, now some of you men will know what I'm talking about." He had, and I don't understand what that had to do with it, but he had to back wheel up and, huh? All right, he knows all about it. I don't. Thank goodness. Hallelujah. I'm glad. Woo! Said, "I went out, got a hold of that crank and just," said, "I just kind of give," said, "this, boy, just started up just like that." He drove it back and forth every day for 3 weeks. Never got a bit of gas, never put no gas in it. He got 3 pennies, a nickel, and 4 dried fish for 3 weeks of preaching. He said, man, wages has come up in preaching, ain't they? $2. You think I'm going to back down on God? You think I'm going to let go of the line and relax? Oh, God, help us tonight to pray through till we can see that we must hold the line. If we want to reap, we must hold the line. You can't reap unless you hold the line. You can't relax. Sing, brother, sing. Huh? All I can say is hallelujah. That's about all I feel like saying to it. Hallelujah! 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 Can you praise the Lord? Hallelujah! Hallelujah!